I appreciate all the hard work and all of the diligence that went into the Fall Festival. It was a wonderful time last night, and just am glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to celebrate again, Brother and Sister Biscotta. What a wonderful and strengthening example in a church fellowship of younger people, to be able to look at a couple and say, you know, the kingdom of God will bless and strengthen your marriage. You can live for God for the long haul and in the durative. Praise God. I came up last night, and I was just walking up, and I saw them there at their car, and they had the car door open. Brother Louis had gone and gotten Sister Stella a corn dog and had a plate, and I don't know if it just had mustard on it or ketchup and mustard. Yeah. And she was there eating her corn dog, and you could see all the kids and hear all the hubbub and everything. She wasn't physically able to get up and get out of the car and take on the task of moving around in the crowd and all. But they just wanted to come and be a part of what God was doing and have a corn dog and praise God. And I just rejoice in what God's doing in their life. I appreciate the kingdom of God so much, and such a privilege to be a part of it. We're continuing with a study of the book of Proverbs, and we are in under the shadow and under the umbrella of a discussion of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We're discussing the life qualities that are derived from the wisdom of God. We've been on that for a while. And these qualities are based in the personality and in the word of God, and they are communicable attributes, things that God can speak forth unto his people. And so these are primarily skill sets that are achievable, and you can attain unto all of these things that we're dealing with, and they will prosper you in your personal life and in your family life and your business. No matter what you do in your journey through this world, all of these qualities and characteristics are not only going to serve you as you serve God, but they're going to serve you in your personal relationships and in your integrity as a person, and on and on and on. So today we're dealing with the proposition of discretion. Everyone say discretion. And we want to pursue this. We'll take for a text Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 11. We're dealing with this book of Proverbs topically, and making our way through, not so much expositionally, but in dealing with these major character qualities that are presented by the book. Proverbs 2 and 11. And would you say, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. All right. Discretion is a powerful thing that has a preservative influence in your life. Let's drop back then to verse 10. And would you say, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So then discretion is predicated upon wisdom and knowledge. Then say, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord, and we praise you, and we give you all thanks. We worship you because of your word and the goodness of the word of God in our lives. So in our text, it is very, very simple. We want to mine the wisdom and knowledge of God. We want God to breathe that into us. We want those qualities of God in us. And out of that, the outgrowth will be these character qualities that we've been studying, one of which is discretion. Webster will tell you that wisdom, or rather discretion, is circumspection in all things. That's kind of an archaic term. It's used in the King James Version of the Old Testament. But it's like the passage that describes Job. Job, God says to the devil, is a perfect man and loves God and escheweth, or hates evil. But escheweth is a little better word than hate because it has the connotation of taking a wide berth around sin or evil. And so Job was a man that not only loved God, but his love for God created in his heart a disdain for evil. And if you'll remember our discussion about wisdom, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and defined by the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. And so Job is a perfect man who hates evil, but more than that, he keeps a wide berth around it. He's not going to see how close I can get to it. He's not going to see how much of an accommodation I can make for this evil thing in my life. He's not going to say, can we negotiate some kind of a compromise and live some sort of a neighborly relationship. But he was perfect. He loved God, and he walked way around evil. He hated evil. In the New Testament, the word is circumspect, and in the word itself is the definition. Circum having to do with the circle, and spect having to do with your vision. And so you watch something, and you make a full circle around it. That's a circumspect life, by reason and by wisdom and by understanding and by being careful. So discretion has a denotation that's fairly simple, but it is loaded down and heavy with connotation and implied things this morning. Praise God. This is a quality that you want in your life. In the story of Noah, after Noah parked the ark, and he for some reason, Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk. And I don't know if it was just something he had planned to do after the ark was built and the flood was gone, and he was just blasted and said, when this is done, I'm going to tie one on. I don't know what Noah thought. But he very deliberately planted that vineyard and very deliberately harvested the grapes and made the press. And, you know, wine is a process. So he headed toward that goal with purpose and process. And at any rate, he was found naked and drunk in his tent. And those are not good leadership positions to be found in. And his younger son, Ham, comes into the tent, sees him in that situation, and has a decision to make. What do I do with this information? What do I do with this circumstance? He sees failure in leadership. He is not the authority over that leadership, but he takes it on himself to go outside the tent and begin to talk to his brothers about the compromised position that his dad is in. Now, his brothers, Japheth and Shem, put a garment on their shoulders in the story, and they walk backward, the scripture says, into the room where their father lay, and they covered him with a garment, never turned, never looked, wouldn't look upon his shame, had regard and respect for him, even though he had fallen into some sort of a questionable situation, they had regard and respect for him. And the reason I bring this up is that God rewarded Shem and Japheth, and he cursed the grandson of Ham because of these events. The implication there is that discretion is something that I need in order to know how to please God. Shem and Japheth pleased God. I won't go into the finer points of that scenario and discuss that because we're going to move on to other things. But by their discretion pleased God. And Ham, by his indiscretion, brought down a curse. Now, the simple a function here for us today is, do I want a blessing in my life or do I want a curse in my life? And discretion will bring a blessing about in your life and position you to succeed in God and to please God, where indiscretion will put you in a position where you will be romancing a curse. And that's something none of us want moving and working in our lives. Somebody say praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 41, after Joseph's long sojourn in Egypt, he has reached the place of the fulfillment of the vision that God had given him as a young man. He's 30 years of age. He's been in the pit in Potiphar's house. He's been in prison. And now he's brought up before Pharaoh and he hits a home run. God gives him the revelation of the dream and the interpretation of it. And you know the story of Joseph in the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And at the end of the discourse, Joseph said to Pharaoh's inquiry, he said, "You need to find a man of wisdom and discretion and put him in charge of this harvest and this storage." And that's the plan. And Pharaoh consulted with his wise men, but he said, "Who has greater wisdom and discretion than you, in whom is the Spirit of God?" And so in the story of Joseph, the power of discretion has brought him before. I know he's got a vision. I know he's got a connection. I know he's got a revelation. But I'm talking to people today who have the Holy Ghost, who know God, who've been born of the water and of the Spirit. But I'll tell you, you can foul up the promise of God in your life by indiscretion. And you can facilitate the promise of God in your life by displaying the character qualities, notably that we've studied here, but discretion is what we're talking about this morning. You can accentuate and enhance and facilitate the promise of God in your life by demonstrating, by acquiring, and by demonstrating discretion in your life. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, let me take a survey. We just go home. We can go to McDonald's right now. Who wants a curse in your life? Okay, so at least everybody's listening. And who wants the blessing in your life? All right, good, good, good. Now, you know how, and we've studied this before, as they're coming through the wilderness after they've left Sinai, God has a group of Levites on the top of two mountains. One group is reading out and crying out the blessings of God. The other is calling out the curses of God. And it is this fantastic imagery wherein God is preaching a message to them and telling them, you are going to make your way up a mountain in your life. But the question is, by choice, will it be a mountain of blessing or will it be a mountain of cursing? Do you know Israel ascended the mount of the curse? Went into captivity in Babylon for 70 years and then were scattered all over the world for 2,000 years and they still don't have their heads screwed on straight. They, day by day, choice by choice, decision, life decision by life decision, made their way up the mountain of the curse of God. By choice. Everyone say by choice. Everything is by choice. We serve God by choice. We worship by choice. The whole business of the snake in the garden and the tree in the garden is about choice. And every day there's a choice. And every day there's a tree. And every day there's a serpent. The question is, are you going to ascend the mountain of blessing or will you ascend the mountain of the curses of God? Because they're both right there in the book. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, discretion is going to help you succeed, and not only in your experience in God, but in life. In the New Testament, Joseph gets steamrolled. He's a humble carpenter. He is from a tiny little town, and he's in a community like that. Everybody knows everybody. I mean, in my community, when I was a kid, if there was a car coming down the road, you knew who was in it. And Sir Sutton and I were just talking this week about if you heard an ambulance, you started calling people because somebody you knew was in trouble. Small community. And Joseph was just, he lived his life. He was a fine man. I know he was because God chose him. And he had chosen a young lady to be espoused to. And his life was just turning out storybook fashion. And you know how excited he had to be. And then Mary came in. And I don't know how they worked that. I don't know what the protocol was for that. But Mary got word to him that she was pregnant. Which is a big deal. Especially if you're a Jew in Nazareth in the day of the birth of Christ. And in a small community, his reputation, just by association, was on the line. And there were all kinds of options, not the least of which was to be out in the street letting everybody know exactly what went on there. I haven't touched her. This is not my character in question. She's gone out. She's played the harlot. I don't know anything about this. I deny any knowledge of this. He could have been doing damage control. He could have been covering himself. Could have taken all kind of options that you see every day in the way that people operate concerning life and life's occurrences. But the Bible said that he chose to put her away privily. He was going to, by discretion, he didn't want to damage her. He didn't want to hurt her. He didn't want to bring shame to her. He didn't want to be a part of anything negative that happened to her. And so by discretion, he was going to put her away. Discretion is a powerful and a wonderful thing. It doesn't do gratuitous hurt. It's respectful. It takes care. It shuns evil and it seeks for good. Praise God. Mary, after Joseph got the word from Gabe and everything worked out good, Mary standing there in the middle of that manger scene, and the shepherds have been there, and the angels and their choir have sung, and the star has set itself above the birthplace of the Christ, and the word that was spoken to her has been fulfilled, and she's just amazed, and she's a teenager. And she comes out of that place knowing, I am holding the Christ child in my arms. I am the chosen handmaid of God. I've been down to Elizabeth's house and we've had the same supernatural experience. And friends, she could have been out in the street telling everybody about all of it and giving them a play-by-play about angelic visitations and the prophecy of the Word of God. And I am the exalted Mary, and in a little bit somebody's going to start building shrines to me and they're going to start praying to me, and I'm going to be the mother of God. She could have said anything. But the Bible said she pondered, she kept. Everybody say she kept. Discretion is keeping things. Keeping things that God has put in your purview that you have the power to release. But she kept those things and pondered them in her heart. Praise God. We're talking about discretion. Paul's admonition for young women in Titus chapter 2. He said, love your husband, be discreet, chaste, homekeepers, good, there shall I say, obedient. Come on, guys, you gutless wonders, here's your chance to go, hey, amen. But I know you were just being discreet. Yeah. You were exercising discretion. You know that you're the Lord of your home. Praise God. Which, if we could put an addendum to Paul, we would say, ladies, pull in your horns. Shelve your neurosis. You say, what? Well, see, you can't operate in discretion if you think everybody's out to get you. Because you're always having to prove yourself and gain affirmation and do a publicity run. Every day of your life is a publicity scam. You've got to ring your bell and blow your horn and talk about how wonderful you are. And if anybody gets close to that, you've got to crucify them. Got one female amen. Yeah. You'll never achieve the peace and the affirmation that you're looking for by carrying on waging a publicity war and trying to destroy everything kind and beautiful and good around you. But you will by practicing discretion. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's look at Proverbs and let's look at discretion. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. When wisdom comes, this is what it does. And these first few verses talk about what wisdom and understanding and knowledge do. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. So would you say discretion is the product of wisdom? Turn to your neighbor and say, but that's biblical wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. Tell them the wisdom of the world is sensual and devilish. But the wisdom of God comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, praise God. So we want the wisdom of God. And so if the wisdom of God comes into your life, then discretion is the natural fruit or the natural outgrowth of that. Or it is wisdom emerging in behavior and in attitude. It is discretion is wisdom emerging in speech and in your decision-making process in your life. The act or the behavior of discretion is the implementation of wisdom. It's what you do when you're wise. Indiscretion is the manifestation of stupid or a lack of wisdom. Okay. Chapter 2 and verse 11, we read this as our text, say discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Praise God. 3 and 21, and would you say, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. You know, if you operate in God's wisdom by the word of God and discretion, it's a lens that filters everything you see around you. You judge everything by the word of God. You don't have to crucify everybody around you. You don't have to judge everybody around you. You don't have to take on crusades against people around you because you understand that everything's in the hand of God and you can walk through your life with discretion, operating in wisdom, and let God build your circle and stay out of other people's circles. Praise God. Chapter 11, and this is one of my personal favorites. You know, you can have your own favorites, but chapter 11 and verse 22. Would you say, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Praise God. What a picture. What an illustration. The thing that the world values, her natural beauty, is completely offset and destroyed by her loud mouth and her bad attitude and her aggressive behavior and her sensual pursuits. And she is the poster child for what our world is trying to communicate to little bitty children in elementary schools and teeny boppers. She is Britney Spears and you fill in the blank. She's everybody else along the long train that's trotting out of Hollywood and the music industry that's trying to influence fashion and behavior and sexual mores and everything that makes a society a civilization. It's a full-scale culture war, and she's a swine with a gold piece in her nose saying, come follow me. I'll show you a good time. Praise God. You okay? You all right? Praise God. Discretion loves holiness. Discretion doesn't have a problem with standards. Discretion doesn't have a problem with fellowshipping in groups. Discretion doesn't have a problem with staying out of the back seat of a car. Discretion doesn't have a problem with speaking in a righteous, godly fashion and not cursing every other word. Discretion doesn't have a problem with shelving all the worldly lyrics and all the worldly music and learning some songs that are pleasing to God. Discretion doesn't have a problem with dancing at church and nowhere else. Praise God. Discretion doesn't go to a bar room. Discretion doesn't go to a crack house. Well, praise God. But it walks around those things, circumspectly looking at those things. Because I love God, I've got a hatred for evil. And I don't want to get close to it. And I don't want to have a truce with it. Well, praise God. I'm not interested in a negotiated settlement with it. I've already drawn the line. I've already made my choice. I'm going to live for God. Praise God. Is that all right with you? Praise God. Young lady, you'll catch the man that you really want and the one that you really will be happy with if you live a holy life and you walk in discretion before God. If you want to advertise things for sale that are not for sale, and the way you dress and the way you walk and the way you live, you can do that and the world will applaud you and they'll say that this is some sort of an archaic, oppressive religious system that will never let you fulfill your potential. But I'm telling you, they've got a litany. They've got a history of train wrecks and destroyed homes and destroyed marriages. I want to tell you, you'll find your heart's desire if you by discretion walk in obedience to God. Well, praise God. Everybody say discretion. Chapter 19 and verse 11. I feel a Holy Ghost in the house today. I just come into church today. I felt this unreasonable, irrational exuberance. Just for no reason. And I always chalk that up to expectation in the Holy Ghost. Like, God knows something that I don't know that's about to happen in this house today. Praise God. Chapter 19 and verse 11. And would you say the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So you don't have to shoot off your mouth every time you have cause. And you don't have to take offense at everything anybody does to you. And you don't have to try to find a target for all that unresolved anger in your life. I was watching Brother Sylvester's car bash last night. You could hear it before you got up into the area here. Whoomp! I said, oh, somebody's got that mall going after that little, what was it, a little Honda Accord last night? A Toyota Corolla. All right. It was a messed up Toyota Corolla before the evening was out. And have you ever wondered, now, we don't charge for anything at our fall festival. It's just, but don't advertise that too loudly because we could barely handle the crowd that was there. We don't charge anything, but there are some places where they actually charge and people pay to get to hit a car with a 12-pound maul. You 10-pound, 12-pound maul? 10-pound maul. People pay to do that. Why is that? Somebody's got some frustration going on out there. There's some unresolved anger out there. Have you noticed that? What do you think road rage is? I mean, normal, practical people turn into demons when they're on the road. They're ready. And they have fist fights in the middle of the street. And that's not even about the thing that happened on the street. It's about, you're challenging my manhood or my personhood or whatever. And I'm just using you for an example, but not many people can be crawling out the truck to fight you. Even though we know you're gentle and kind. You're a bad choice for me to choose this morning. Praise God. Billy, you study psychology. There's a lot of unresolved anger out there about things that people didn't have control over when they were little kids. But now, bless God, I'm an adult. And I'll brace anybody. But the scripture says discretion causes you to hold your anger in check and pass over a transgression. Doesn't mean you won't ever have anger. Just says anger doesn't control you. And that you have the capacity to pass over a transgression, which is in part the definition of grace. You've got the capacity to manifest grace in your life because you have discretion and you have control. You don't have to get payback for for everything that happens to you. You don't have to get vengeance, but you're settled into the fact that God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And a little secret here, God's going to repay a whole lot better than you would. If your enemy thirsts, feed him. Give him to drink. If he hungers, feed him. And in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, I've heard all kind of euphemisms about that. Don't believe any of them. Feed him, give him to drink, and say, you're going to burn, you're going to burn. But it's not in your hand, and it's not by your hand, but it's the judgment of God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, defer your anger. Don't speak it. Don't act on it. Don't let it control you. It's a choice. Like everything else in life, anger's a choice. When you're in a rage, you made a choice to be in a rage. When you stomp and fuss and cuss, you made a choice to stomp first. And the rest of it just follows by nature. It's a choice. Well, it's in me. I can't control it. People pay a gazillion dollars to go to anger management courses. All you need to do is come to an altar. By the way, I forgot to tell you, a lot of this is impossible to achieve without first breaking your tie to the old man or the old life by going down in the water in Jesus' name and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you need to come to an altar, an anointed Holy Ghost altar, and lift up your life in praise and worship and let God fill you with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You'll know you got it, because you'll begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. It's not impossible, but it's really unlikely that you're going to achieve any accomplished manifestation of biblical qualities without the Holy Ghost in your life. So discretion has to do with control. Everybody say control. Praise God. The writer James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And the suggestion, is the implication there, is that you have control over those things. I couldn't help myself. That's not going to wash at the judgment. It's just the way I am. That's not going to do you any good. You've got personal spiritual control in your life. The fact is, you've got to exercise it. Praise God. Praise God. You can be any kind of person you choose to be right now, today, by choice. But discretion causes you to displace anger, to defer anger, and not act on that and pass over a transgression. How many of you have been forgiven by someone else of something that you've done, and you are so glad that someone forgave you, so glad that somebody had grace in your life? You know what a good feeling that is? And don't you want to impart that to somebody else? Isn't it a wonderful feeling? I think about the parable where you have the story of the man who owes a great deal and his master forgives him. And then he is unforgiving concerning a man that only owes a paltry sum. And before the story is over, the man winds up in jail and in bondage because he had no capacity to grant grace to someone else. Praise God. You want to practice discretion because it is the component that will allow you to have grace moving in your life. Chapter 25 and verse 9. Are you okay? This okay? I know this is slow, and I know a lot of these character quality studies are a little bit slow for a Sunday morning, but oh, we need this. If we're going to have revival at the level that we need to have it, and we're going to make a difference in our city, we can't just have the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues. I'll tell you, we really need to be the genuine article. We need to be, they need to know that we are disciples because we have love one for another. They need to see it in our daily walk. It's got to show up at school and on the job with you. When they come to your house, they've got to know this is not a place where people fuss and fight and cuss and cut one another, but it's a place born of God, and the peace of God is in that place. Praise God. To sustain revival, you've got to have a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the area that we're dealing with today. Chapter 25 and verse 9. Praise God. Everyone say, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Discretion doesn't mean that you can't represent yourself in a reasonable cause. But just go to your neighbor and discuss it with him and say, discover not a secret to another. So I deal with you. We've got a beef. I deal with you. We get it straight. We shake hands at whatever level we leave it. And I walk away and I say, do you know what that guy did? Do you know what a low-life rabble bag that guy is? No, but discretion walks away, keeps it in his or her heart, and zips a lip and doesn't tell. Discretion knows how to keep a secret. Do you know how to keep a secret? Some of you would have a nervous breakdown if you knew something interesting right now. This is how you're supposed to be about the gospel. I got to tell somebody. But that's how you are about gossip. You need to translate that into your experience in the kingdom of God. Praise God. You know what? This is so deadly important. You got to keep secrets from people that are very important to you. Because in a fit of rage, in a private counseling session, he may tell me what he really thinks about you. Yeah, I've already calculated. You're within reach there. But you're going merrily through your day. And if you don't know that, you continue to go merrily through your day. But if I break into your day and I tell you, you've got a whole new dynamic to work with then. You got to engage him about it. You got to deal with it. And then you've got to find some peace. You either got to put it on the shelf or put him on the shelf. You got to do something with it now. But I just let you go. Now, some of you, the real hairy and ugly part of this is some of you, if I didn't tell you the dirty secret that I know, you'd hate me for not telling you. I've got a right to know. I've got a right to be miserable. But I, by discretion, choose not to tell you. Now you're wondering, aren't you? Now you're wondering. Well, I'll tell you, you can't even imagine. You don't know half of it. Praise God. God knows every dirty secret. But he knows how to cover it up with grace. You know, Calvary is a big cover up. You know, love hides a multitude of sin. You got to get on board with. See, there's something down inside you like Ham. Dad's drunk and naked. There's something in you like that. You got that dual nature. You got to, by choice, marshal that thing. Have control over that thing. And say, fellas, we got a situation in the tent we got to do something about. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Turn around backward. You're not even going to see what it is. I want to lead you into the remedy of the situation, the solution for the situation, without fouling your spirit. I love grace. Anybody don't like grace? Anybody hate mercy? Praise God. You love it, right? You want it, right? You want grace and mercy. So just by consent there, I know you want grace and mercy for everybody else. Your worst enemy. Your whatever, ex. Your boss. The devil that works on the job with you. When you walk by him, it's got to be mercy and grace, God. Mercy and grace. Because you know the deal, and we've done this before, but we got to, when you turn the valve off on mercy, you can do that if you want to, and some of you have done it. Bless God, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm never going to forgive them. I'm going to hate them, and I'm going to love it every day as I hate them, and I'm going to eat it for breakfast. I hate you. And mercy, I've turned it off. I put a padlock on it. I've welded it shut. But what's wrong with that? There's only one port for mercy. You just shut it off for yourself. Open the floodgates of mercy. Well, praise God. Discretion. Discover not a secret to another. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be a keeper of secrets. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we could have 40% greater revival if we could just stop gossiping right now. I don't have empirical proof for that. It's just a feeling, a gut feeling. But people don't check statistics anyway. Chapter 26 and verse 17. Would you say, he that passes by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, how many of you have a bad dog in your neighborhood? You do? Brother Travis got a bad dog? He belong to you? Is it your dog? No. Okay. I want you to go today, and I want you to just do this as an object lesson. Go to that dog and grab him by the ears. Shake him real good. Have somebody bring dinner by, because you're going to be there a long time. Because once you do that, you can't turn. It's like a tar baby. You can't turn the thing loose. Come on. And folks don't understand that when they walk by and they see some deal going on. Their baser nature wants to get involved in it. Right. And you start getting opinionated about it. And then you want to put in your 2 cents. And you want to get involved. And it doesn't even concern you. It's Sister A and Sister B having a dispute with one another. Well, you can't stand it. You got to get involved. Well, let me tell you what she did to me. You find fault with my brother here. And then I say, well, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you what happened with me and him.
All right.
And then what did I do? I just stepped off in the middle and I hit the tar baby in the middle of the, and I'm stuck. Now I'm stuck. I've got the dog by the ears and I can't get loose. But discretion just walks right on by. Y'all be careful now. Y'all fight all you want, but I ain't fighting. I gave up fussing and fighting and cussing and all of this stuff. I'm just going to walk right on by. I'm not going to get involved. Praise God. But see, your base nature wants to get involved because you want to know the dirt. You want to know the latest news. Your flesh has an insatiable desire for gossip. Talk some trash with me. Yeah. But your discretion defers that base nature. See, it's all about control. And you've got to ask yourself, am I going to be controlled by my environment, by my circumstances, by personalities around me, or will I actually captain the ship of my soul? Will I go where I choose to go and in the end of the day arrive at the port of my choosing, or will I have just wound up on some godforsaken shore somewhere and say, well, it was just circumstance? I'll tell you, in life, it's not that. You are not a piece of flotsam or jetsam on the tides of life, but you are a creature made with choice, and you can determine today whether hell is going to be your eternal place of residence or you're going to live forever with God in heaven. And you do it by exerting control and by discipline, and if you would, by discretion. Praise God. So when you walk by a conflict in progress, if you engage in that, it's because you're nosy, you're opinionated, you're presumptuous, you're arrogant, you're indiscreet, and you love vicarious conflict. Praise God. The scripture says if you don't have self-control, put a knife to your throat. If you're given to appetites, that's pretty serious. This discussion is about mastery, it's about temperance, it's about being proactive, not reactive. Let's touch one more passage here, and we're going to quit. And you can go to McDonald's or wherever you are going to go. James chapter 3. Sister Shirley, did somebody say you're feeding us today? If you ever get a chance to go to Sister Shirley's house for anything, regardless of if it's the Syrian spread or if it's the Mexican spread, whatever it is she makes, go. Don't if you just get a chance to hitch a ride with somebody else, go. chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Okay. For in many things, everyone say, for in many things, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. See how important this is? If you can control your mouth, if you can control your tongue, you can chart the destiny for your life. Praise God. I do control it. I say exactly what's on my mind. That's not the biblical definition of control. That's not where we're going today. Praise God. There's not a biblical premium in you being frank and honest and saying everything that comes to your mind. You feel like there's some strength in that, but there's not. You don't have to gratuitously hurt people. You don't have to share information that doesn't need to be shared. Praise God. I know this is Wednesday night stuff, but this is where we are today. You want to be a perfect person and bridle the whole body. You do it with this. Verse 3. Would you say, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. How much does a horse weigh? I'm getting all kinds of responses. There's all kinds of different horses. But horses are huge compared to people. But you can make that horse do anything you want just by pulling on that bridle and that bit in their mouth. And you have the capacity to turn your whole body and literally your whole life by the power of your tongue. This comes under the discussion of discretion. Verse 4, behold the ships, they are great. They're driven by fierce winds. Don't talk to me about your circumstance or about your surroundings. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That rudder is your tongue. Praise God. You know where you are in life? Right now, you know where you are in life? If you're over the age of 20, at this point, you're probably where you chose to be. If you're 30, you're definitely where you chose to be. If you're 50, ain't nobody's business but your own. You don't understand, it was circumstance. You don't understand, it was sickness. You don't understand, it was my mama dressed me bad. My daddy never loved me. Well, you can tell me anything you want to tell me. First, there are people who have had that exact same experience who've already succeeded in the thing you're complaining about. There are people who have already gone to heaven and have fought through the things that you're struggling with right now. So that's already settled. You can do this. Praise God. But you go where you choose to go. Praise God. If you're sitting in a position right now and you are unskilled and unable and you can't make a living for yourself or for your family, you did that day by day walking up the mountain of the curse by saying, this ain't important. I don't have to do that. I'm not listening to that. That's for old people. I'm not. And at 25, you're hungry and you're broke. And at 30, you're disillusioned with life. And your dreams are rusted and calcified and you can't break through. And now it's really hard, but not impossible. Because you still control the direction of your life. Today, if you're 60 years old and your life has been a disaster, do you know, have you ever seen a Kentucky Fried Chicken sign? You can change the course of your life. I don't care where you're standing right now, but you've got to quit blaming the circumstance and you've got to quit blaming the things around you. But the exercise of discretion takes the rudder and changes the course of the life by choice. Everybody say by choice. By choice. Praise God. Let's just try this. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to actualize my potential in the kingdom of God and in life. I'm going to be great in everything that I do. Do you really believe that? My God, some of you think you're at a Zig Ziglar rally. But I'm just telling you, you can do that. You've got to exercise discretion in your life, and discretion gives you control over your life. Other than that, somebody or something else is controlling your life, and I can't think of anything else that would make me more bitter than to get to the end and find out that I let somebody else shove me down a place I didn't want to be. Praise God. Everyone say discretion. I've got to quit. This is important for your children, because your children don't need to hear about all the bad people at work. This is important for your children. They don't need to hear about the bad people at church. You might as well give them a gold-plated key to hell as to come home every day and talk about how bad the people at church are, and how they've let you down, and how they don't care, and how nobody's sincere, and how nobody loves God like you do. And if all that's true, you need to find yourself a church somewhere, or go off to some far-flung Asian nation and become a Buddhist. Don't go to Myanmar. It's rough on the monks right now. But you understand what I'm saying? You're trying to resolve your personal conflicts through your children. Would you grow up? Discretion is an adult concept. It may be true. Your kids may come to you and ask you about somebody. But all you've got to do is say, well, sweetheart, I just... And they'll go away thinking you're the dumbest mom or dad they've ever seen. But when they're 25, they'll think you're a genius. Because you didn't pile on every time somebody stumbled or somebody fell or somebody disappointed. Well, praise God. Say discretion helps the children. Discretion preserves the innocence. They don't have to know everything. I'm preparing them for life. No, you're not. You're preparing them to be as miserable as you are and as judgmental as you are. Oh, this feels so hard today. Having the mercy and grace. Discretion is going to be good in your relationship with your spouse. Discretion will be a governor on this mouth of yours, so that in disappointment or anger, you don't say what you were thinking. Turn to your neighbor and say, a fool says everything that goes through his mind. You need to step back and practice it a few times, and refine it and think about it. Because if you give it a little bit of thought, you won't say it. It's good. Discretion's good for your relationship with your spouse. Real good for church relationships. Good for work relationships. Well, bless God, I let him have a piece of my mind. And he gave me this piece of pink paper. And you say what you want, but words mean things and they don't go away. Discretion will keep you. Praise God. It's going to be really, really hard for you to be an effective witness in a place where you've shot your mouth off day in and day out about every subject under the sun just because you wanted to be an expert or be heard. And now you want to tell them about the kingdom of God. They know you're a blowhard. They know you're full of anger. They don't want to hear it from you. Praise God. Why don't we stand together? Praise God. Everybody say, God, give me discretion. In the book of Judges, there's a story. You got any discretion songs? Well, help them a little bit. Let's don't have funeral music. Yeah, something. Jephthah comes home from battle in the book of Judges. In the face of that battle, he made a vow to God. He said, God, if you'll give me victory, if you'll give me my enemy, whatever meets me at my door, I'll sacrifice it to you. Bold. Shot his mouth off. Said what was on his mind. God gave him the victory. And on his way up the little path to his house, his teenage daughter comes out the house with a tambourine. And she comes out praising, and she comes out congratulating and celebrating her dad. And he's vowed a vow before God. Discretion will keep you. Discretion will be like a chain of gold around your neck. Praise God. I want us all in the house today to have a time of repentance, because nobody's immune from this. But I want us to pray and ask God to forgive us for everything that's not like him. Cleanse us for everything that is in our life right now. Anything we've done, anything we've said that's not pleasing to God. I want you to just ask God to cleanse you. Mighty God, look on us with mercy. Cleanse us of every sin. Cleanse us of all that we are that's not like you. Praise God. Praise God. Wash us, Lord God. Cleanse us, mighty God. Make us, oh God, a people that bring glory and honor to your name. Praise God. Now, if you're in the house and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in tongues, you can have it today. But I want to open this altar for somebody that wants to come to this altar and say, God, I made a mess out of a lot of things, but I want you to help me. I want to be stronger. I want to be better. I want to be more effective, and I want to fulfill my potential in life. This altar is open right now. I want to have healthy relationships, and I don't want to be a person that undermines everybody around me. God, I want to be a builder of people and a builder of the church of the living God. Come on, this altar's open right now. Praise God. Praise God. All over the house. Pray, church. Somebody's going to do something in the kingdom right now. Praise God. Mighty God, lay your hand on my mind. Lay your hand on my spirit. Cause me, oh God, to be a blessing to everybody I touch. Cause me to be a strength to everybody that I touch. These that are in the altar praying, it'd be good if somebody would come down. Lay your hand on their shoulder. Lay your hand on them. Take their hand. Pray with them. Into that. Worship him. Press into that.